You are listening to the Mindful Marketing Show podcast, episode 38.
Welcome to the Mindful Marketing Show with Kimberly Maska. You are about to be empowered as we teach you the best marketing strategies used by today's spiritual entrepreneurs. Get ready to share your message and inspire people worldwide.
Hello, I am Kimberly Maska, your Mindful Marketer, and I would like to welcome you to the relaunch of the Mindful Marketing Show, the podcast for spiritual entrepreneurs who are ready to change the world with their gift and have a business that reflects their authentic self. To celebrate the relaunch, I have a free gift for you. It is the Jumpstart Your Spiritual Business Guide. In it, you will find all of the tools you need to, well, jumpstart your spiritual business and create an abundance of time, money, and freedom. Don't wait to share your gift with the world. Get your copy of Jumpstart Your Spiritual Business today at mindfulmarketingshow.com. Now, before we jump in, this episode is brought to you by Kickstart Cart, my shopping cart of choice for myself and my clients. It has everything you need to create the business of your dreams with passive income, or as I like to call it, making money while you meditate. Picking the right shopping cart for your business is a big deal, and it can be very confusing. So what I have done is created a free workshop for you to help you through the decision-making process. You can find this free shopping cart workshop at mindfulmarketingshow.com/kickstart. That is mindfulmarketingshow.com/kickstart. Now let's listen to this episode. Enjoy. Hello and welcome. I'm Kimberly Maska, your host of Mindful Marketing, the podcast where today's mind, body, spirit thought leaders discuss the latest strategies to build your business and take the icky out of marketing. Joining us today is Martha Sanchez. Martha is the creator, executive producer, and host of the Mommy to Mogul radio show, empowering women to build a successful business. Martha is a registered nurse with a bachelor in nursing and a master's of business administration. She is a business coach, speaker, author, and CEO of Mass Universal LLC. Her diverse work experience brings you expertise in areas essential to helping you build your business, such as business planning, leadership, management, customer service, social media, and budgeting. The Mommy to Mogul radio show furthers her personal mission of empowering women to help them build successful businesses so they can reach their financial independence. You can hear her show every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the All Business Radio Network. Welcome, Martha. Thank you so much for joining me today on Mindful Marketing. How are you?
Oh, I am doing fantastically. Thank you so much.
Lovely. So excited to have you here. You have such an interesting background, how you got from where you were to where you are in creating Mommy to Mogul and having your radio station and many other ways that you spread these wonderful ideas for entrepreneurs. Tell me a little bit about your personal journey and how you ended up down the path to creating Mommy to Mogul.
Well, first of all, let me just share that I started off way off the beaten path. I'm originally a registered nurse by training. I've got a bachelor's of science in nursing, and I started off my career in the medical field. In fact, most of my career and corporate career was in the medical arena. I was an assistant head nurse. I later became a risk manager, a hospital administrator. And then from there is where I started more of my management and business piece, which I went to work for a multi-million dollar foundation as the director of clinical operations, where I established several free clinics in the South Florida area, and one of which was actually a homeless shelter, a clinic residing in a homeless shelter serving families. And a lot of people don't think about homeless people being families, but there are. I then later became the chief financial officer for that particular organization once I got my MBA. And eventually I moved on to another multi-million dollar nonprofit as the chief executive officer. And I consider myself a lifelong learner because as you can see, I kind of hopped around a little bit. And what's really interesting for me is that as I went through that journey, I picked up several different things that I did, everything from managing staff and you know, supervising staff to IT requirements needed for projects, contract negotiations, a whole variety of different things that I do. And then from there, what happened was during the time that I was working or setting up the clinic at the homeless shelter, that was kind of a turning point for me. And Kimberly, that was it just touched my heart to see homeless women, and they were homeless for various reasons. They became homeless, some of them because they were leaving abusive situations. Others lost the main support of their household, and others had health issues that threw them into in a poverty situation. But the common theme was that they all felt hopeless and that they had nothing to offer. They felt like they had nothing to offer. And there was a lack of self-worth. And I wanted to stop that cycle before it began, because it was so difficult to try and instill and make them realize that they did have value. They did have skills. So I wanted these women from the very beginning to know and realize that they had value. They had worth. I wanted to empower women to become financially independent by building their businesses and discovering their skills. Because we all have skills, as I said, someone is always willing to pay for these skills so they can generate income. So I felt that the corporate world I was in was no longer in alignment with my mission. So after about 30 years, I left management and operational leadership because, again, our missions were just not the same. And then I started my business, which originally wasn't branded Mommy to Mogul, believe it or not. I had another brand totally before that. So I went through several evolutions of really finding my right target market, my right niche, and the right topic for my audience.
That's so beautiful because, and you know, we think about, or which I think what is part of the problem is we don't think about homeless people and what they have to offer. So many times we just think like, oh, they're in a bad situation. And that is so lovely that you were able to see the common denominator and try to bring them up from that and give them a path. That's amazing.
Oh, thank you. No, and it is so true that they have such skill sets. I mean, to survive, their survival instincts are incredible. They can come up with tips, creative tips on things. There's so many little creative things that if they think out of the box that people would be willing to pay for. And that's what I really wanted for them to get out of that, to realize they had value, they had worth, and that even before they got to that point of homelessness, if they had known this, I venture to say they wouldn't have come into that situation at all.
Right. So key. So now for you, you were 30 years in corporate America. So what was the moment when you decided this is no longer serving? And then what were the steps you took to then create your new business, which we know now has gone through many iterations of names. And that's something great to point out as well. We don't come out of the gate successful. We come out trying different things and seeing what works. So what were the steps that you took and what was that moment when you decided to move from corporate out?
Well, when I decided, I started my exit strategy in the company I was working for. And it just happened to coincide during the time where we had our economic downturn and different funding streams were drying up. And I knew that I had set up the company and the corporation in such a fashion that they could survive with a part-time CEO. So when my contract was up for renewal, I had told, I decided I was going to tell them and offer them the opportunity to cut me back to part-time. They could still have my expertise and my wide breadth of knowledge that they could utilize, but they didn't really need me full-time because I had a great team underneath me that could really make it function effectively. Before that, I think the big guy upstairs decided that I wasn't moving fast enough.
I love it.
Because the big guy upstairs decided that I needed a little push, literally. I fell down almost 3 flights of stairs and broke my ankle.
Oh my goodness. A literal push. I love it.
A literal push. And it was, fortunately, it was my ankle and not my head because it could have been really bad. And when I did that, I had to go out on workers' comp for almost 6 months, obviously. And we knew that it was going to be long. And during that time, I was up for my contract renewal. So when I offered them that, they decided, no, that they really needed somebody that was at least coming in. And I couldn't really do that. I had to work from home during those 6 months, if possible, where I was, you know, I couldn't even drive because of my broken foot. Because, of course, it was the right one.
Of course. That's how it always happens.
So we decided that it was just not a good fit for either one of us. And we parted ways very amicably. I was there. I provided them with all the information they did. I left everything for them tied up in a nice little bow where everything was running smoothly. And the people that were running it knew that they could call me at any time for support. So that's when I really started going full force into my dream of making this a business. Now, what I had forgotten to say is that during my exit strategy, about, I would say, three months before this happened, about 3 or 4 months before the injury happened, I had actually decided to get a radio show. And not knowing anything about a radio show or podcasting, I'm one of those people that are action takers. I signed up for the radio show, had a little delay, did my research, did my homework, and I started my radio show. It was originally called Know the Radio Show, and I did a variety of different topics that I thought were of interest to women that included health topics, relationships, parenting, business building, marketing, all of those things that I thought might be of interest to women. And that was my way of testing the field. And also I gave back to the nonprofit that I was in, even though I purchased it and it was my own money for my radio show spot. I did, the first show I did was actually for the nonprofit I worked for, and I provided them a forum to communicate non-smoking efforts and how people can quit smoking and their services. So that was actually my first one. And from there, during six to eight months, I kind of looked at the downloads. I did looked at the questions, my interactions, my follows, and I figured out which were the more highly received shows and topics. And literally, that's how my audience voted. And what I found is that they were really interested and hungry. And I do say the word hungry for business building topics. Every time I had somebody on the show about that, the downloads skyrocketed. I got a lot of questions about that and about business building topics. So as a result, at that point, I started to think about rebranding and changing the show totally. And I did that over the course of quite some time. It took me actually, I would say, at the very least 3 months of a full-fledged campaign to rebrand.
Wow, it's a lot of work, but it pays off, doesn't it? When you finally find your niche and you know who your audience is.
Right, it does. It does.
So let's talk about your audience and what your ideal client is. And I know you have a very special process for determining that. So let's talk a bit about that.
Sure. When I was rebranding, when I was actually looking at the radio show and who my target audience was, even from the very beginning, I knew it was women. But what I looked at is what was my mission. And my mission was always to provide resources for women business leaders and entrepreneurs and provide them with resources so they can continue to thrive in today's business environment. And if you hear my show, that's what I start off with. That's always what I start off with because I want it to be clear to new listeners what my mission is. So because of that, I look at women who are between the ages of, my target market is generally 30 to really up to 50 and over. But it's the more seasoned market, the people that probably who have already graduated from college. Although they could be in college and entrepreneurs at heart. It doesn't matter, but that's my target audience. So I looked at the demographics for the individuals and the specific services that they would benefit from. So what I used was what I call my cycle of meaningful change. And I use this to accomplish any of my business goals. And let me go through it so that the audience can actually understand what I'm talking about. And again, I have used this successfully nonstop to not only start projects, but to refresh projects and make sure I'm still on target. And I start off with planning. And planning everybody goes, oh, planning, but planning is very important. It's key. Just like knowing who your target audience is, knowing what topic you're willing to talk about. So for example, knowing my target audience was extremely important in the planning phase, because without that, I wouldn't have known what a good time it would be for my target audience. So I use 7 p.m. because most people are home by then and, you know, have picked up their kids and probably have either started dinner and are in the process of doing it and can listen to the show, or have finished dinner. And so that was key for even figuring out the right time for my target audience. So as I said, the planning process is very important, thinking about the topics I was going to look at and all that stuff. So once I've got that all squared away, then I needed to identify the resources that I need. And that's everything from physical to very esoteric resources, like, you know, ideas and platforms. It's software, hardware. It's products that you are going to have to benefit, tips, concrete tips that you can have for your audience to download or use, any of all of those things. And of course, hard products such as something that you might mail out to them or a book that they can purchase, any of those things. So you want to identify, as I said, the resources. Then this is the big one where everybody falls behind on and kind of gets stuck on. And that's when things never get done. And that's taking action.
Such a key step we seem to forget.
Absolutely. And that one is critical. And let me say that you can do all the planning and identification of resources that you want. But until you take action, how are you going to know if it's really going to work or not? So, you know, don't wait until it's absolutely perfect. You can go ahead and start off and tweak it as you go along. So once I take action in my cycle, so it's planning, identifying resources, taking action. Then after you take action, you just don't leave it alone and let it simmer. You have to evaluate the outcomes. So that's your next step. You want to be evaluating your outcomes. Are you really doing what you wanted to do? Are you meeting the goals of what this original project was supposed to do? And that's really critical. And you can evaluate it in quantitative and qualitative ways, you know, by comments you receive that are meaningful, or by looking at, as I did, downloads, the number of downloads, in addition to the number of comments that people receive. Because sometimes people don't have time to comment, but the downloads speak. That's something that people who are busy and quick, will that tells you firmly if you're on the right track. So from that, then you do the evaluation and adjustment of it, because, you know, you're evaluating your comments, and then you go back into the planning phase. Because what are you planning on changing? What are you planning on revising? Do you need new resources to make those changes? For example, when I rebranded, right, I needed to plan. First of all, I needed to identify the name. So my planning was I needed to look at what the new name of the show was going to be and how I could get it to resonate more effectively with my target audience. So I did masterminding with several people that I know that were instrumental. And there were several options, but the one that worked for me was the Mommy to Mogul radio show, because it did a couple of things. And I know you'll appreciate this one, Kimberly.
Can't wait.
it does a couple of things for me. To me, the Mommy to Mogul brand not only identifies what I stand for and what I did in my life, because first and foremost, what I considered my first job because I was a mom, was being a mom. And then from there, becoming a mogul, or being financially independent, so that I could always support my family. And when my children were gone and on their own, then I could continue to support myself in a good fashion. So it stands for who I am as a person, but it also stands for who I want my target audience to be and what I want them to get out of my interactions with them. I want to take them from mommies to moguls.
I love it. That's really fantastic. And I like how you really think through how it applies to you and your customer. Because sometimes that, as I think I see a disconnect sometimes with some people. And but to stand for, you know, have it represent both of you, that's fantastic.
Oh, thank you. And it was. It was quite, and mind you, Mommy the Mogul, I could not trademark that one because of the fact that there is somebody else who has used that name, and it's Mogul Mom. So it's so close, I couldn't trademark. But I could trademark the Mommy the Mogul radio show. Mm. So Mommy the Mogul radio show is actually now trademarked. As a result of that, Mommy the Mogul is a DBA. My main brand is myself, Martha A. Sanchez, because it stands out, and it stands out, makes me different from other business coaches and who I am, and it resonates with my audience. So I thought about all of these things to make me stand out and incorporate.
That's great. And standing out, you know, it's so important when it comes to branding that people – you know, it goes back to being authentic and knowing who you are and how important that is, that, you know, you have yourself up there. So your company is you, and then you have your brand of the Mommy to Mogul. So that's very nice and important for people to remember how important to brand yourself as well.
Absolutely. And the other interesting part is, like most of us, I wear many different hats. I'm a business coach, but I'm also a business consultant. And I have a business consulting firm as well. And I branded that particular name very thoughtfully. And my official business name is MAS Universal LLC. And that's actually my corporate name. And what's funny about it is people go, well, what does the MAS stand for? It's actually my initials.
it looks awesome. It's like mass.
It's my initials. But here's the other thing. I'm a Spanish speaker. I want to reach out to the Spanish market eventually. So what does MAS mean? It means más, and más is more. And that's what I give my clients. I give my clients more.
That's fantastic. I'm going to admit. Now everyone's going to go look at their initials and say, what can I create out of this? I love that. So for your business coaching that you do through Mommy to Mogul, how are you finding clients for that? What's your marketing strategy for that part of your business?
Well, my marketing strategy has really started off with social media, quite frankly, because as I told you, the big guy upstairs decided I wasn't going fast enough. So I was laid up for almost 10 months, quite frankly. I couldn't really drive or walk efficiently for about 10 months. So during those 10 months, it was totally online that I had to do it. I really couldn't go to networking events and things like that because I couldn't drive. So I started off with my website, which I created a website. I really thought out what I wanted, and it's gone through a couple of renditions already, as websites are known to go through.
Yep. So many times.
And the key for me to find my audience has been online, looking for groups and communities where I can find women entrepreneurs or mothers, working mothers, those types of things. And of course, when I was able to do networking, I belong to a couple of women's groups that I attend, and I network through that, and referrals and from satisfied clients and fans, of course.
Referrals are so key, but I love how you were kind of forced into going the online route because you were laid up. And so many times people say it's networking, and I know that's so important, but that's fantastic. You were able to start it basically being laid up.
Yeah, and let me tell you, it allowed me to get a whole new perspective of what social media can really do for your business. And as a matter of fact, it's one of the key elements that helped me successfully rebrand. Had it not been for what I was able to do with social media, I don't think my rebranding efforts would have been so successful. I had about 6,000 listeners with the old show. And when I rebranded, you know that when you rebrand initially, you have to start from zero because you lose all your statistics. Right. Well, within a month, I was already up to the 6,000 again because of the successful rebranding. And within six to 8 months, I already had about 8,000 to 10,000 listeners. And now currently I have about 14,000.
That's fantastic. That is, you know, and people sometimes they think like, oh, well, you have the big numbers. It's like, well, but you started from scratch too, and you worked hard to be able to get those numbers. And that's really impressive.
And not once, twice.
Right, right. Redo it. So what works for you on social media? How are you using it? What platforms work best for you and your audience?
Well, let me first start off by defining something really important that people don't realize. And that's defining what social media really encompasses. And social media encompasses blogs, emails, marketing, including newsletters and, you know, email blasts, your website, and of course, social media networks such as Facebook, LinkedIn, Google+, Twitter, Pinterest, Instagram, and Tumblr, just to name a few. But those are the most common ones that people think about. And what I think is the thing that people missed out the most on is that they don't realize that the only social media network or social media site that you own is your blog. But the blog has to be on your website. In other words, my blog is at marthaasanchez.com/articles. And you can find all my blogs on there. It's not on a WordPress.com Martha A. Sanchez, but it's on my website in with my domain name. And that is one of the key elements. If that's all you take away from this, it's really important. I can't tell you how many people are missing the boat by just blogging on other people's sites or blogging on a WordPress free site and not on their domain site. And the reason for that is twofold. What's your ultimate goal? Your ultimate goal is for them to interact with you. And if you're taking them away from your website, how the heck are they going to interact with you? Wouldn't you agree, Kimberly?
That is so key. That is, yes. And I love that you brought that up because you do need to own it. In social media, someone say, oh, I have 40,000 followers on social media. And I'm like, well, that's fantastic. And how many do you own? Because those people aren't really your people. They're kind of out there, but until you bring them over to your blog or to your list for your list building, they don't belong to you yet.
Yeah. And let's be clear, social media is powerful, but it's only one of the components of that whole social media plan that you need, you know, to encompass. And that encompasses free opt-ins on your websites, like having a freebie, something, a free report with tips about maybe commonly asked questions that your clients might ask you, and you create a little one pager that they can now download it, and you get them on your list because you own that list. And I, you know, many people have learned that the hard way. I was actually in Facebook jail for a while.
I unfortunately have not experienced that, but I've heard of it a few times.
Oh, yeah. And it was something that was totally not true. It was something they changed all of a sudden, but they didn't broadcast it very well. So I was stuck there. It was only a couple of days. It was like, I don't think it was even 7 days. I think it was 4 days or something like that. But still, that brought home the fact that you don't really own any of those sites. So that's why your ultimate goal always has to be to go back to your website, to listen to your radio show, to buy a product, whatever that is. And, you know, you have to follow the rules of each individual platform. Now, the ones that I use and Kimberly that I found most useful are Facebook, LinkedIn, Google+, Twitter, and Pinterest. And Facebook is the big, you know, 1,000-pound gorilla, you just have to be on. I don't care where you are. It's got over 1 billion users. And yes, I said billion.
Yep. It's the numbers are astounding. And even if you're not making that great of an effort, you still need to be on Facebook.
Yeah. The other one that's very important and people shortchange themselves on is Google+, because Google+ has a following. And who owns Google+, Kimberly?
Yep, good old Google. Everyone forgets about that. Well, I don't think a lot of people are I guess if you're in marketing, like we are building our businesses, we know that. But a lot of people go, Google Plus, what's that? But yeah, we should mention that. And, you know, I'll say, I know from my experience, when I post stuff to Google Plus, then when your people are searching for me on stuff, I come up way higher because I'm doing stuff through Google Plus. So yeah, we need to remember that.
Exactly. It's all about making it easy to, for people to find you. So that those are important elements. Now, I actually have a workbook that I created and a whole system. It's called the Power Up Your Social Media Engine Workbook that I'll be glad to let your listeners know how they can get it. But the important thing about the workbook is it actually takes people step by step. So people who are new to social media can learn how to create posts effectively and realize where they're going, what their main focus is for the post. Because it's just like, remember when I went through my meaningful cycles of meaningful change? Well, it's the same thing. You can't have a meaningful post unless you go through that cycle.
So true. You know what? And I always say, what do they call it? Random acts of content. When people are just throwing up content without thinking through what the goal is.
Oh my goodness. Yes. That's just like, you remember, Kimberly, those things that you used to get from the bubble gum, like the bubble gum machines that you used to put in a quarter, but you got things and they had like these sticky things in a little plastic that the kids used to love. And then they would just throw it on the wall and sometimes it would stick and sometimes it wouldn't.
Yes.
That's what I feel sometimes people are doing with social media. And that's not a good way to market.
No.
Don't you want it always to stick?
Yep, think it through just a little bit. That's great. I love that analogy. So are you advertising on your social media or are you just doing it very organically?
I do a little bit of both. I use the 80-20 rule, 80% valuable content, 20% engaging them or encouraging them to come to my site for a particular product, but very low an unsalesy, like, you know what I mean?
Right, right.
And you have to be very careful because, for example, Facebook will ban you. They have actually put out a word now that if you are found to be too salesy on your personal page, they will convert all of your friends to likes. And as we all know, likes are not as valuable as friends because you can't invite likes to anything.
Right.
So that's very, very important. They don't mind. So I always put my things like the radio show. I post it up there because the radio show, I'm not selling anything. It's giving out free content.
Free. So free is beautiful for most people. They're like, yes, free.
Exactly. So they're fine with that. And it's once a week. And then the rest of the time I cross post other people's things. I talk about certain things that have occurred, all of those things. I engage, but I have grown my people organically and it's been slow and steady. But you know what? They're people who really interact with me. They're not 1,000 or 2,000, people that you purchase from somebody but don't do anything.
So key. Yes. And it's not the number of people, it's the quality of people.
Absolutely. And one thing that I'm telling you right now for all your listeners, never, ever buy a list for either your emails, for social media. Lists are like, you might as well just take the money you're spending and flush it down the toilet because it's going to be worthless for you.
It's so true. Because you just don't know. They don't, it's about having... Again, it could be a big list, but if they're not, and I'm going to use a word that a lot of mind, body, spirit people don't like, but they need to be buyers because this is your livelihood. This is your business, even though it's mind, body, spirit, and you need a list of people that are going to buy from you, which we can look at as exchanging your value for the energy of money, but it's still a business and that exchange still needs to happen. So yeah, you need a buyer's list, not just a list of a lot of people.
Absolutely. And let me say something to your mind, body, spirit listeners. Understand something. And this is something that's for those of us that have been in the giving mode and want to help others. It's sometimes difficult to understand. But if you are not able to make a living and support yourself, how can you help others because they won't be able to get to you. You won't be able to get your message out. So yes, you have to make a living. Yes, you need buyers, because with those buyers, you're helping them and giving them something of so much value that they'll be able to live a healthier, happier life because of you.
So true. I mean, they really end up coming back and thanking you because you've helped to solve a problem. You've given them a solution to what they needed.
Absolutely.
So key. So let's talk a little bit about your books. Now, I know we'll say that you haven't written one yourself, but you've been in some compilation books. Let's talk about that experience and how valuable that is. Some people forget, you know, the whole cross-promoting with what I call the complementors instead of competitors. So let's talk a little bit about your experience doing that.
Oh, it was a great way to jumpstart me into thinking about and really fleshing out in my mind what I want in my book. And I do have a book that I'm working on. It's just everything else comes first, and I kind of put that to the side. But I've decided that I've already set a date for myself. Next year, before Christmas, I'm going to put out this book.
Fantastic.
So I'm putting it out there. I'm now accountable. Oh my God.
I hear you. I'm accountable to have mine out in the next 3 weeks. So yes, I'm right with you.
But I do have two compilation books I was in. One of them was Wake Up Women, Be You, Spread Your Wings and Fly, Finance and Career, where I talk about basically my background, my journey, and how I got to where I am in terms of being so successful in corporate. And it wasn't always easy, because I also had self-esteem issues as a young girl. I'm only 4'11", but you know what? That 4'11" is just like a nitroglycerin. I got a great pack in there.
Little dynamite.
There you go. So those are one of those things that when you tend to be small, people tend not to take you seriously. And of course, I always looked very young for my age because of my height. And I just kind of look young. And it was really funny because I used to pull my hair back severely in a bun and wear glasses instead of contact lenses when I wanted to be taken seriously, and dressed a little bit more maturely just to get my point out. And of course, the heels were a necessity, mind you.
To take you to 5'1".
Seriously. So anyway, so it talked about that, and I gave some great tips for women on how they can find their ability, their skills, and what they're good at, so that they too can profit and build a business. Then in the other one, it's called Conversations That Make a Difference and I was showcased with Rita Davenport and Sharon Lecter, which are just two of the great names in there.
Wow, that's fantastic.
Yeah, and so that one went to bestseller status right away.
Wonderful.
Yeah, yeah. And that one is a little bit more about, a little bit more intimate about my conversations with two of the strong women in my life, my grandmother and my mother, and the difference that it made in my life. Also, the difference that conversations I've had with other people have made in my life. And we're talking about even conversations with homeless people, with children, everybody. Because everybody can make a difference, and you can learn something from everybody.
We need to remember that. And earlier you said you're a lifelong learner, and I love that. And we all should be. And if we're not, then we need to rethink what we're doing. But that's, yes, when we apply listening, when we actually listen to people speaking to us, we can learn so much.
Yeah, absolutely. And we talk so much sometimes that we forget to be quiet and listen. I'm a people watcher. I don't know about you, Kimberly,
Yeah. But
sometimes I like when I'm in the airport or when I'm in a public place, I just sit back and watch. And I love to see people and their reactions. And sometimes you'll see a strange reaction and most people go, oh, but I watch. And as I watch, I learn why, or, you know, get an inkling of why they reacted the way they reacted. And it's not always what your first initial thought is.
So true. We put our own perceptions, what our history is on other people, and there could be a completely different reason.
Which goes back to our marketing topic. That's why when you look at value in your blog posts, in your social media interactions, in your free irresistible offer, it has to be what your client values, not what you think they value, but what they truly want to know about and want to hear about.
So true. I think so many times because we're so similar to our clients, that's why we do what we do. But we forget that it's really, we're here to serve them and what they need, not what we think they need. Although if we can solve both, it's great, but they have to get what they wanted.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's interesting because of the fact that that's how I started, as I mentioned before, the Power Up Your Social Media Engine program. It was actually at the request of a client. I had a client who asked me, how in heaven's name have you done it? They were on my radio show. And right after they Googled themselves after my radio show, guess whose post came up first and for several days afterwards?
Yours,
my
of course.
Radio show. Yeah, my radio show. And all of my social media posts, theirs was like on the second page.
Love it.
So I know that I do it effectively. And they said, you need to do this. I want you to teach me. So I started off with that particular client and I created my Power Up Your Social Media Engine plan. And with it, there's a workbook. And the workbook, as I said, is available to anybody. It's for your audience. They can get it for $47 by going to tinyurl.com/MAS workbook.
Perfect. And I will make sure that that is posted up on the site so everyone can look at that as well.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
And that one, normally it's $97, but I've discounted it for your listeners. And there are other things there, of course, that they're welcome to listen to look at. I also have a free irresistible offer, which a lot of people like, which is the 7 Secrets for Entrepreneurs, which is on the very front of my webpage, which is marthaasanchez.com.
Fantastic. I'm going to go check it out myself. You never know where you're going to learn from people. I'm always open to it. This is what I do for a living, but you just never know what you're going to learn from somebody else.
Oh, I've learned from you, Kimberly. I've learned from, several other of my colleagues. I learn constantly. I often say the day I stop learning is the day I'll be in the ground, basically.
Okay, so hopefully we have a lot of learning ahead of us.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So looking back on your journey, if you had to do it all over again, what would you do differently?
Ooh, okay. Well, that one, that's a really good question.
Thank you.
And I have to say that the first thing I would have to do is have more confidence in myself and my value a lot faster than I did. I had a very life-changing experience when I was young, which made me a very strong person. But it was still realizing my value took me a while sometimes. And I often let negative people color my value and my self-worth, which we should never do.
Absolutely. And it's so prevalent where we allow that to happen. And we just have to remember we are in control and not allow that to happen.
Yeah. And the second thing I would do is I would have spent more time and money earlier in my career on mentoring and coaching. And I'm not just saying that because I'm a coach. I'm saying that because I get mentored and coached all the time. And there's always something wonderful I learn. I go to seminars all the time and there's always something wonderful I learn. And I don't care if it's a topic you think you know a lot about, everybody out there, you don't know it all. You'll learn something, or somebody will say something in a slightly different way that will trigger something for you that could be an immense revenue generating thing for you in your business.
I can, you know what? That is the probably, I would say that's my biggest thing as well. Because I didn't even understand, I'll say this, I worked on Wall Street all those years and we were so heads down on what we did that when I came out, it was like, well, what do you mean people still do this extra education and learn this and what have you? It was such a different culture. And it's probably been one of the most valuable things that I've done. It's part of the networking and just learning and having mentors and having, I have a coach that coaches me to keep me in line. It's invaluable.
Yeah. And, you know, why not learn from the experts and avoid the mistakes they made, for God's sake? That's often what I tell my, you know, when I'm doing a presentation, my whole purpose and what makes me stand out from everybody else is, number one, I do not think one size fits all. I think all of my products and services are made in such a way that it can be customized to meet your needs, because it should not be a cookie cutter template. It needs to be your needs are very specific and need to be met. And number two, why are you going to make all these mistakes? Why not let me shorten your learning curve so that you can get from point A to point Z twice as fast, if not more?
So true. And it's, you know, I'll say this, so many times people go, oh, well, it's the money. It's, you know, I have to pay for a coach. And it's like, that is the best investment you can make in yourself. And if you follow it, you'll make that money back in no time.
And I've got to tell you, the investment in my radio show was not, you know, not small peanuts. And on top of that, I had a coaching investment that I had just done. So I invested quite a chunk of money. But you know what? In the end, it was all worth it, and it has all paid out in the end.
Absolutely. Best advice ever. So where do you see yourself going next in building your platform?
One of the things that I'm actually working on is expanding my services through joint ventures. Because let me tell you, people are always hesitant on doing that, and I don't understand. If it's done correctly and you lay out clear expectations among the group that you're joint venturing with or the other person you're joint venturing with, then it can be wonderful. And just like everything else, if it doesn't work out, you can always make sure that you put something in there and you part your ways. But it is a great way to reach new markets.
So true. It's the whole affiliate, you know, joint venture. It's just touching more people. It just gives you such a greater range. It's amazing.
Yeah. And it's things like, for example, one of the funny things is a florist should be joint venturing with a wedding planner, should be joint venturing with a bridal shop or with venues where weddings are held. Why aren't you doing that? Oh my God. If you joint venture with them and give, like, say, a discount to them or give them a referral fee, do you know how much more business you would get?
It's amazing.
Yeah. So think out of the box. Think creatively.
Yep.
And I also want to increase my speaking engagements to get my message out to different audiences. I think people can benefit from what I have to offer, not just in the traditional business arena, but in different areas. So that's why I so appreciate you having me on your show, because I know your market is mind, body, spirit market, and they need this information as well.
Absolutely. We're all running businesses in one way or another.
Yeah. One of the biggest ones that's sometimes a little difficult to get them to come over to the light is the healthcare arena. Healthcare arenas and nonprofits do not realize they're running a business, which is just astounding to me. How are you going to be able to provide all the amazing services that you provide and needed services if you're in the red all the time? You can't do that.
Such a great fact. Yeah. It's funny. Now that you say that, I think about the nonprofits that I know, and yeah, it's a different mindset. So yeah.
Yeah. And that's one of my areas of expertise with consulting, because of the fact that I ran nonprofits and I worked in the nonprofit world so much. But they do. They've got to change their whole mindset and realize that they have to operate like a business in order to be around to do to their charitable works.
Absolutely.
And then, of course, my last one is completing my book, which I've already put out there. And the universe is going to help me focus and get it all done.
Well, and then I'll say this, and we'll have you back when that happens. So now you have to get it done.
Oh, my goodness. Yes.
Well, it has been so lovely talking with you. One more time, let's let my listeners know where they can find you and where they can pick up that social media workbook.
Okay. They can find me or contact me through my website, which is www.marthaasanchez.com. And that's Martha, my middle initial A, Sanchez.com. And there they can also get the 7 secrets for entrepreneurs, which provides them with the 7 strategies that successful entrepreneurs practice, such as Oprah Winfrey and Donald Trump. And the workbook, they can actually get the Power Up Your Social Media workbook, and right now for $47. And this will be good through the end of October only. For $47, they can go to tinyurl.com/MAS workbook.
Fantastic. Well, thank you again for your time and the invaluable information you've given to us. And I can't wait to have you back on and we can talk about your book.
Ooh, okay, okay. Now I'm excited. Now you got me energized.
Sending out the energy. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you again. And it's been wonderful.
You have been listening to The Mindful Marketing Show with me, your host, Kimberly Maska. You can get more information about this episode and all of my episodes at mindfulmarketingshow.com. There you'll find all of the show notes and links to the books and business resources we discussed. Again, that's mindfulmarketingshow.com. Until next time, be passionate, be inspired, and live your dream. Have a beautiful day.